Proverbs chapter 10.
An honest life is immortal. Wise son, glad father, stupid son, sad mother, ill-gotten gain gets you nowhere. An honest life is immortal. God won't starve an honest soul, but he frustrates the appetites of the wicked. Sloth makes you poor, diligence brings wealth. Make hay while the sun shines, that's smart. Go fishing during harvest, that's stupid. Blessings accrue on a good and honest life. But the mouth of the wicked is a dark cave of abuse. A good and honest life is blessed, is a blessed memorial. A wicked life leaves a rotten stench. A wise heart takes orders. An empty head will come unglued. Honesty lives confident and carefree, but shifty is sure to be exposed. An evasive eye is a sign of trouble ahead, but an open face-to-face meeting results in peace. The mouth of a good person is a deep, life-giving well, but the mouth of the wicked is a dark cave of abuse. Hatred starts fights, but love pulls a quilt over the blinking. You'll find wisdom on the lips of a person of insight, but the short-sighted needs of a slap in the face. The wise accumulate knowledge, a true treasure. Know-it-alls talk too much, a sheer waste. The road to life is a disciplined life. The wealth of the rich is their bastion. The poverty of the indigent is their ruin. The wage of a good person is exuberant life. An evil person ends up with nothing but sin. The road to life is a disciplined life. Ignore correction and you've got lost for good. Liars secretly hoard hatred. Fools openly spread slander. The more talk, the less truth. The wise measure the words. The speech of a good person is worth waiting for. The blabber of the wicked is worthless. The talk of a good person is rich fare for many, but chatterboxes die of an empty heart. Fear of God expands your life. God's blessing makes life rich. Nothing we do can improve on God. An empty head thinks mischief is fun, but a mindful person relishes wisdom. The nightmares of the wicked come true. What the good people desire, they get. When the storm is over, there's nothing left of the wicked. Good people, firm on their rock foundation, aren't even fazed. A lazy employee will give you nothing but trouble. It's vinegar in the mouth, smoke in the eyes. The fear of God expands your life. A wicked life is a puny life. The aspirations of good people end in celebration. The ambitions of bad people crash. God is a solid backing to a well-lived life, but he calls into question a shabby performance. Good people last, they can't be moved. The wicked are here today, gone tomorrow. A good person's mouth is a clear fountain of wisdom. A foul mouth is a stagnant swamp. The speech of a good person clears the air. The words of the wicked pollute it.
We're looking at Proverbs 10 this morning, and there's that saying, make hay while the sun shines. English translations of the Bible, one person says, don't use that expression, make hay while the sun shines. They've already obviously not read Eugene Peterson. In fact, it probably wasn't written when this one writer penned this. And he suggests that this phrase didn't appear until 1546, and says if the person who coined the proverb in English was copying an idea from earlier versions of the Bible, we can't be sure of it. What we can say, as far as English is concerned, the phrase originated in Tudor England. Well, actually, the phrase does come out of Proverbs. The NIV just simply says, "He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son. He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son." Make hay while the sun shines. Where I walk each morning, it cuts across some beautiful fields which obviously belong to a farmer. And it's interesting watching that field throughout the various seasons and the changes that take place for each season. We're told that in spring, during the spring of the year, this is when crops are planted. The summer is a very interesting time. Farmers will be monitoring crops for weed control, fertilizer needs, or other pest management practices will take place during the summer. Then autumn is harvest season, and you see the combine harvesters out doing their work in the fields, making hay while the sun shines. And he says then in winter, there's not much to do in the fields. So the farmer uses these months to review their yield, look at different practices for the next year, and plan out the course of action throughout the seasons. And so farmers recognize the seasons. And for us as Christians, it's important that we also recognize God's seasons for us. You will be familiar with those words in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. And at the moment, our nation and the nations of the world are going through a terrible season of suffering. But this season will come to an end. This will not last forever. It's one of the most difficult times our nations and the nations have ever known, probably since the Second World War. But this season, however tough it is, and it is incredibly difficult, this season too will pass. And it's our prayer for our nation that when we come out of this season, we will not return back to how we were, but we will be changed. We will be different. You need to pray that when we come out of this season, we will come out into a season of harvest. When we come out of this particular season, i.e. in the sense of lockdown, our nation to a point will probably be in a time of grief. There's thousands upon thousands of people in our nation and the nations of the world have died from this dreadful virus. And there'll be a time of grieving and ministering into those who have suffered so much. And as a church, we need to be ready as individuals. We need to be ready for the next season, how we can be salt and light, how we can bring comfort to a hurting nation. It's going to be an angry nation as well. You know, if you've studied anything about grief, then there are several emotions that people go through during that process of grief. And our nation will be going through grief when we come out of this season. And then it will start to rebuild. And we need to recognize God's seasons as we come through this terrible time. We need, as the writer goes on, as Solomon goes on to say, we need to walk the road of a disciplined life. And particularly in this chapter 10, but the writer will return at other parts to this theme of the tongue and the words that we say and the importance of speaking out in wisdom. And we need to have the right words in this season, and we need to have the right words when we come out of this season and for the seasons that follow. James chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 remind us, it only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it, smoke right from the pit of hell. And we need to make sure that in this season, out of this season, that as Christians, we will have a word in season, and that we'll be able to speak into our neighborhoods, into the lives of our families, and come with that word of wisdom, that word that is right to break whatever emotion they might be going through. Goes on to say later down in Psalm in verse 25, when the storm is over, it says, when the storm is over, there's nothing left for the wicked. What the writer means by that is the storms of life can blow away all that we put our trust in, and all that they put their trust in, and there's nothing left. In the Gospel of Luke, there's that familiar story of the wise builder and the foolish builder. The wise builder built on the rock, the foolish builder built on the sand, and the storm came. And you know the story? House built on the sand just collapsed. There was nothing left. But the house built on the rock stood firm. And our house is built on the rock, Christ Jesus. He is our rock. The fear of God expands our life. It's that fear in the sense of knowing the awesomeness of God that builds our confidence, expands us because our trust is in God. God is a solid backing. In other words, God will never let us down. We can trust him at all time. Good people, it says, God's people will last. And that's because we built on the firm rock of Christ Jesus, our Lord. The prospect of the righteous is joy. The aspiration, it says in verse 28, the aspirations of good people end in celebration. And referring to the second coming, when we will spend eternity with our Lord and Savior, that's going to be so joyful. That's going to be a wonderful time of celebration. But when we come through this season as well, we need to celebrate and rejoice in the faithfulness of an almighty God who has been with us and who is with us every step of the way. And so the writer to the Hebrews says this, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm going to close with this beautiful psalm, Psalm 30 and the fifth verse. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing or joy comes in the morning. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. We will, as individuals and as a nation, and as the nations of the world, we will come through this time. Whatever you are going through as an individual, you will come through that difficult time. Your weeping will be turned into joy. The season will change, and we will celebrate the goodness of our God.